Good morning. My name is Darcy Nansen. I am honored to speak to you this morning. I know we all appreciate our earthly shepherd's voice, myself included. But he's been gracious in allowing me an opportunity to practice on you, a safe and loving church family. I really feel privileged to speak to you this morning. I know Pastor just prayed, but I have an opening prayer all ready to go, and it's so good. I'd like to pray one more time. Dear God, my Father, thank you for your love this morning. I know you call and then equip. I pray for your anointing this morning. May all the words out of my mouth glorify you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this place. Soften hearts and open ears. And as a body, we claim Isaiah 55:11, which says, "My word will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Amen. Today's title is The Book. I want to tell you that when my husband saw that title, he went, "Oh, that's really broad. Where are you going to go with that?" And he was right. I had a moment of panic. But my goal today is to inspire you to get into the Word of God by sharing the thought-provoking facts as well as the transforming power of God's Word. Recently, I was at the thrift store, my favorite place to shop, here in town. I was shopping for devotionals. I needed 8 and wound up buying a few extra. I love to read them myself. I picked up this beautiful, bright little book. It was in great shape. And tossed it into the cart with all the other little books. When I got home and looked closer at what I had actually bought, I read the title of that pretty book again. It said, 66 Ways God Loves You. Hey, the number 66? It rang a bell. You see, I had just seen that number in my Bible study fellowship homework. I knew what 66 stood for. So, I began to read the book. And after a couple of pages, I looked again to see who the author was. Oh my, I recognized the author. Her name is Jennifer Rothschild. The reason I recognized it is because I had just seen an advertisement to Hope Lutheran Church in Fargo. At the end of this month, they are hosting a women's ministry called Fresh Grounded Faith, featuring, you got it, Jennifer Rothschild. I began to think, gee, this might be a God thing. You see, I had written 3 chunks of sermon, cutting and pasting and sticking here. I was crazy. But I was so confused. It was like, what do you want me to talk about, Lord? Well, I decided to use Jennifer's book as my inspiration, which I just realized I left in the office. See, I started out kind of nervous this morning. It's in my bag. It's white and square. Well, I'll go on just a little bit here. So some of you already have figured out what 66 is, but some of you may not know. But after I get the book and read the intro, you will know. Here it comes. Yay! Mm-hmm. Yep. This is a rookie mistake. I hope I don't make too many of those. So here's what Jennifer wrote in her introduction. When I was 8 years old, Grandma Sarah gave me a red leather Bible. I carried it to church every Sunday, and I tried to read it, even though it was a King James version. It was way over my head. I was just a third grader. But I loved my Bible. I loved the smell of the leather. I loved the sound of the pages when they turned beneath my fingers. I loved what I read. God loves me. The third grade me, with an everlasting love. Deep down, I knew there was something holy, something other about it. Something deep within me knew that just like the glue on the binding held its pages together, the truth in its pages would somehow hold me together too. And it did. When I turned 15, my world fell apart. I could no longer read the words in my red leather Bible because I couldn't see them. I became blind due to a retinal disease, and I could no longer read it. But the truth in its pages did hold me together, and its truth still does. Now, as a grown-up blind woman, I use other versions of the Bible along with the King James, and I no longer finger through those thin, oniony pages. I listen to the Bible on audio and through apps on my computer and phone. But no matter how I experience the Bible, it always has the same effect on me. One profound, unavoidable, irreducible, soul-quaking effect. I feel the love of God. I want that for you too. God deeply loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. So, God tells you in 66 ways in each and every book of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll see how much you matter to God. As you read through the history and poetry in the Old Testament books, you'll be reminded that God knows you and sees you and loves you no matter what. As you experience the Gospels and the letters in the New Testament, you'll feel how his love challenges and changes you. My prayer for you is that you too will feel the profound, unavoidable, irreducible, soul-quaking effect of his love as you experience it in 66 ways. Jennifer Rothschild, March 2016. All right, so some of you have already figured it out. 66 in relation to the Bible means there are 66 books in the Bible. Those books were written over a period of approximately 1,500 years. It had 40 different authors who had different languages, lived at different times, didn't live in the same places, outside of a few. They didn't know each other. Some were well-educated, and some were not. You know, the Bible is written without errors, wholly consistent from Genesis to Revelation. It stands apart from all other human literature. As I thought about the Bible, I remembered my grandmother. Do any of you remember a fancy, untouched, or a decorative Bible in your grandparents' or maybe a relative's home? Perhaps on the coffee table. In my case, it was on top of my grandmother's piano. I never saw that fancy Bible opened, but I remember it. It was white leather. And as a kid, I was curious why that book always sat up there. But my grandmother had a black leather, well-worn Bible with some gold lettering that was barely visible, filled with papers sticking out of its pages. I'd call that her going to church Bible. Do you have one of those? I do. Thinking about my grandmother's Bible brought back memories of the pictures hanging at Grandma and Grandpa's house. Does anyone remember the picture called the Daily Bread picture? The old man sitting at the table praying with the Bible and the bread? Yeah. Or how about the Lord's Supper by Leonardo da Vinci? Do you remember that? Jesus and the apostles with this long table. All of them had gold halos above their heads. They were about to have the Last Supper. That picture hung in my grandparents' living room. Or my favorite, Jesus praying in the garden. He was kneeling next to a large rock with a light shining from heaven down on top of him. I love those memories. They gave me inspiration to write my thoughts down. I thought about the 66 books in my grandmother's well-worn Bible being written by divine inspiration. And what does that really mean? Well, a pastor and teacher, John Piper, explains it this way. Human authors wrote the Bible. And God wrote the Bible through the human authors. Divine inspiration. For those of you who haven't been interested in reading the Bible, I'd like to share an overview. The Bible has two divisions. The Old Testament teaches us about creation of the world and humanity's fall into sin. God's work through chosen nation of Israel and his promise of redemption. The New Testament reveals the arrival of God's promised deliverer, his own son, Jesus, who died in our place when he was crucified on the cross. He came to die, a substitute for human sin, and restore what sin damaged. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Now, there is one main character in the Bible, the Trinity. In order to fully understand the Bible, I think you need to be pretty clear on who the main character is. Who is the Trinity? Well, one true God has three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the one true God are God. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit, yep, it's God. But these three are just one God. Think of an apple. There are three parts to an apple: the peel, the flesh we eat, and the core with seeds. Three parts, but just one apple. Each part of the apple has different purposes. The peel protects and keeps the apple healthy. The flesh of the apple is good to eat and nourishes us. The core of the apple contains seeds from which more apples grow from. Like the apple, the three persons of the one true God have different purposes too. God the Father is our protector. He loves us and protects us, makes even bad things turn out for good. Sometimes we do things that God doesn't like. God said, there must be a punishment for these things. God loves us so much that he sent God the Son to take our punishment for us. His name is Jesus. He suffered and he died. But he rose from the dead so we can have beautiful new lives. But before we can have this beautiful new life, we must have faith in Jesus. When you believe Jesus died for you and lives again to give you a beautiful new life, that's faith in Jesus. You know, our hearts are like a piece of ground. The ground cannot plant itself. Someone must put the seed into the ground. Likewise, we cannot put faith into our own hearts. God, the Holy Spirit, makes us believe in Jesus. He puts faith into our hearts and keeps it alive and growing as long as we want him to. When the Holy Spirit puts faith into the heart, he feeds it with God's word. And faith begins to grow. God uses all 66 books filled with stories of triumph and of human fails. Well, you'll read about Abraham, Isaac, Moses, John, Judas, and so many more. Oh, and we can't forget to mention Satan, aka the devil, prince of darkness, Beelzebub, or Lucifer. I do have a spoiler alert, though. Jesus is victorious. Satan is the loser. Amen. Think about this. The Bible has been banned, burned, scoffed at, and ridiculed. Scholars have mocked it as foolishness, and kings have branded it as illegal. Dictators feel threatened by its very existence, and people have lost their lives for possessing one. Why? Well, not only has it survived, it has thrived. It's the single most popular book in all of history. It's been on the best-selling book list in the world for years. There is no way on earth to explain it, which perhaps is the only explanation. The Bible's durability is not found on earth. It's found in heaven. The purpose of the Bible is to proclaim God's plan and passion to save his children. That, I believe, is the reason this book has endured through the centuries. It's a map that leads us to God's highest treasure, eternal life spent with him. For the millions who have tested its claims and claimed its promises, there is but one answer. The Bible is God's book, God's voice. The holy book reveals the heart and mind of God himself. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Oops. Now, no matter your age or where you are in your Christian walk, sometimes scripture can be hard to understand. Here's an example. This particular Sunday sermon went like this. "Dear Lord," the minister began, with arms extended toward heaven and a rapturous look on his upturned face, "without you, we are but dust." Oh, he would have continued, but at that very moment, a little girl sitting beside her mom, listening intently, leaned over to her mother, and in a loud, shrill 4-year-old's voice, asked, "Mama, what's butt dust?" Yes, sometimes scripture can be hard to understand. But don't give up. Dig deeper. Pray. Ask God to reveal its meaning. Read a different version of the Bible. Ask questions. For me, a Bible study is most enjoyable. I love learning with other believers. At Christian Fellowship, we have men's group on Thursday mornings. We have women's Bible study on Monday mornings. I highly recommend Celebrate Recovery, a time to deal with any hurts, hang-ups, or habits you may have through a God-centered recovery program. They meet on Tuesday nights as well. Personally, I attend the women's Bible study. I love those ladies. And 3 years ago, I joined Bible Study Fellowship. It's called BSF. I'm so blessed. I get to meet weekly online through Zoom with 15 other women. No matter what the weather is or which state I'm visiting, I can be a part of this study. For me, this BSF has been a means of exploring the scriptures and learning about Jewish culture, learning facts and connections regarding other cultures around Israel, and insights with context. You know, whatever Bible study you choose, or if you make time for God and read his word on your own, you will be blessed. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart, and I might not, so that I might not sin against you." I am sure your view of the Bible will change like mine did, and your love for God will grow deep roots. So now you know the Bible is the heart and mind of God. Now what? Take action. Read it. Listen to it, like Jennifer Rothschild listens to it on apps. Christian Fellowship Church, we offer Right Now Media for free. This is an opportunity for you to listen to 66 books on your car rides, while cleaning your house, doing the dishes. There's also children's shows on there. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You ask, where do I start? Good question. I would start in the book of John, because John calls us to believe in Jesus. If you need a Bible, let us know. You really need to hear God's voice. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, without the Bible as your anchor, you will live through ups and downs of life without God's perspective. If you see the Bible as an ancient, outdated book, you are missing out on God's current word and eternal plan. By choosing not to read the Bible or ignoring its truth, man, you're overlooking the gracious and loving lifeline that God has extended to you. The Word has power to transform anyone from death to life in Christ. I know it's a part of my story. My grandmother's black leather, well-worn Bible testifies to the power of God's transforming word. She witnessed a mean, abusive, cussing man that kept a leather strap in the living room for easy access to beat his children when they did not listen or move fast enough. He worked hard, picked up extra jobs when he could, and expected his family to work hard too. His four oldest boys worked on the farm from sunup till sundown. No baseball or football, just work. During the school year, they did chores before they went to school. And they did chores after school. They worked hard. His wife not only worked hard in the house, she worked on the farm, grew a large garden, milked cows, worked in the fields. After all, they had 10 kids to feed. He ruled his house with an iron fist. His two daughters cooked the meals and cleaned the house and watched the younger siblings when his wife needed to be outdoors. But one day, a man he respected in the community invited him to church. And he went. That mean man invited Jesus into his heart. He was transformed from the inside out. He became a godly man who eventually became a deacon in the Nazarene church right here in town. He no longer used the leather strap on his children. He made sure they went to church and learned about Jesus. Not only did life change for him, it changed for his whole family. You see, God had a plan. One of the older boys, the second oldest boy, went off to war, World War II. Within a year, he'd been killed. But the couple, they had peace because their son knew Jesus, and they knew they would be with him again. Thank God for that transforming power of the Word. One of the younger boys, he came to Christ. And eventually, he became a Nazarene pastor and blessed countless lives over the years and brought many people to Christ. This man's family healed from the past, and they grew to forgive their father. And his wife, she became thankful for the man God gave her. And at the end of her life, all she wanted was to be with him again. His future grandchildren only knew him as a playful grandfather. A playful grandfather who had the daily bread picture hanging in the kitchen. And the picture of the Lord's Supper by Leonardo da Vinci hanging in the living room. And my favorite, a picture of Jesus praying in the garden, kneeling next to a rock with a light from heaven shining down on him. That transformed man was my grandfather. Like him, God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, God communicates with you better than I can. God knows you better than anyone else does, and loves you more than anyone else on earth. That's a revelation to all mothers. You need to go to God. He is the source and the author of life. His words have transforming power from the inside out. You need to read God's book. As Jennifer Rothschild said in her introduction, my prayer for you is that you too will feel the profound, unavoidable, irreducible, soul-quaking effect of his love as you experience it in 66 ways. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, today you can change that. You can ask Jesus into your heart and make him Lord of your life. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want a mulligan, a do-over, come up and ask God to renew your faith. If you have lacked the discipline to read the Word of God, come up too. Let's pray for a renewed desire to be in His Word. Our closing scripture is found in 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Amen. God bless you and have a great Sunday.